You breastfed on your mom's titties. You've come to the right podcast. I'm one half of the Brohio podcast. I'm the delicious Nickalicious.
And I'm Rob Dog. What's up, everybody?
Were you breastfed?
No.
I don't think I was either. You know, I think it creates a big divide between a mother and a child when they're not breastfed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, though. I really love my mom. I don't think you like your mom.
No.
And I don't think either one of us are breastfed.
No. No.
My wife breastfed all three of our kids.
My wife breastfed me.
Shit.
It was great.
I've never purchased baby formula with three children.
Really?
Never.
Oh, man, you're so
not
lucky.
Not a single time.
Yeah, we didn't go through that. We bought the formula. She didn't breastfeed. Yeah.
I remember the first time we shared love after she was breastfeeding, though. It was a mess. Really turned me on, really created some weird stuff that I've been into since then.
Yeah.
Pretty much just her big breasts. But it can do a lot for a man.
For sure.
Speaking of doing stuff for a man, we're here to tell you about the Mothman this evening, this afternoon, this morning.
We'd do some stuff for him.
We would. We're eternally grateful that you guys have chose us for your podcast listening experience. We're so excited to be back on YouTube. You can go to youtube.com/Brohio Podcast.
I didn't know if that was going to come out.
We got all of our live streams on there where we live simulcast the episode. You can see what's going on in the fucking studio. It's chaos in here.
Yeah, luckily you can only see a little bit of the table because the other half is where we keep all of our shit.
It looks like a trailer park exploded in this room.
It's pretty rough.
I got to get around to it.
Yeah.
But I've been wrenching on my hog. Some people say, how many dildos can you fit in that fucking saddlebag? And I say,
all of
them. I'm going to make this saddlebag the biggest.
Yeah.
Saddlebag, and that's all I've been doing. I got robbed the other day. If you guys want to hear about my house getting robbed, go back to the last episode. I laughed, I cried. The guy's still in fucking jail. Fuck him. It's been a while. He fucking destroyed our streaming setup, but we're back. We invested a little money and we got it going real good. Got it popping.
I think it looks good. Better than ever.
Yeah. But first off, we want to say thank you to our new Patreon subscribers. Dalton Marshall, Dalton, loved you in Roadhouse, buddy. Thanks for the Patreon pledge.
Rugby73, thank you very much. Hope that was your government name.
Yeah, rugby. Rugby's a cool sport, man.
It is cool. I have no idea what the fuck's going on, but
I'm
it's cool.
Definitely not in shape for that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I digress. Chad Broaddick. Not as in narrow dick, but Chad Broderick. Thanks, Chad, for coming on the Patreon and showing us your tits, bud. Big old fucking puffy nippled fucking Chad.
That's my favorite type.
Thanks, Chad.
Let's see what we got next. Kayla Iverson. Thank you very much, Kayla.
Kayla. Isn't Kayla a Christian radio station?
Is that Delilah?
Delilah. Kayla is a, I think that's a Christian radio station. I used to listen to Christian rock growing up.
Yeah, not me.
Oh, there's a child.
Hey!
My family's here. We gotta pause this for a second.
Thank you for the food.
Hold on a second. We gotta pause the show. Okay, we got raided in the studio.
Yeah. Edmund got swatted.
My wife knew I was talking about her breasts. She kicked the door in.
Her breasts were tingling.
Kayla Iverson, thank you. Next up, we got Ryan. Thanks, crying Ryan. That's what my little brother's name's Ryan.
Yeah.
No, it's definitely not him. That dude is a fucking, never mind. I'm not going to say what he is, but he does not share his money. He would not share. My brother wouldn't give. He would come help me do anything that I ask of him.
Mm-hmm.
He would come help me. If I said, hey, I have to tear down the Brooklyn fucking bridge, he'd say, all right, I'll come help you out, dude. He'd bring a hammer, sledgehammer, he'd come help me. But if I said, hey, dude, I need a dollar, he'd be like, I can't swing it, man. I can't fucking do it. I can't give you that dollar.
Gotta love it.
But Ryan, this is a different Ryan. Thanks, buddy, for the Patreon pledge.
And next we got Garrett Pate. Garrett Pate.
You gotta pay the Pate. Pay the Pater. Garrett, you probably got a good-sized Pater on you, don't you, man?
Thank you, Garrett.
Ceres, Kyrs, Curse. What a weird spelling.
What is that?
C-E-R-Y-S. This sounds like this is possibly a constellation. This is like one of those things up in the sky, Circe's.
Yeah. Circe's.
Wasn't there a band named Circe's when we were in high school?
Circe's. Yeah.
Sears. Thanks, Sears. If we butchered your name, just write us and tell us. We'll fix it.
No, we won't. Next, we got Puffy Dick Gore. That's my favorite type of Dick Gore.
Yeah, thanks, Puffy Dick Gore.
Thank you.
Carlos Maldonado. It cut it off. I'm sorry, Carlos Maldonado. Uh-huh. You know who else has the last name Maldonado is Joe Exotic.
Yeah, he does.
So maybe this is his husband.
Ooh, it could be.
What if this guy has been intimate with Joe Exotic? We'd love to have you on the show, Carlos.
Judging by his picture, he'd probably be all about him.
Yeah, kiss him. Fuck it.
Fuck it.
Yeah. You got this next one, dude.
Oh, it's more. I think
it's a Pokemon.
Oh, hell yeah. NC Puck Wedgie. Thank you, Rich. That's like a pussy wedgie, right?
Yeah, it's one of them North Carolina puck wedgies. You got to watch out for them North Carolina puck wedgies. A goddamn sister fucking one. Next up, we got lame-ass jits. Lame-ass jizz. Lame-ass jites. Thank you, lame-ass jites. Jits.
Jizz.
Jlitz. Schlitz. Schlitz malt liquor. If you would like to be on the beginning of our episodes and get ad-free content for only $1 a month. Also, we normally open up the Patreon episodes for $1 or $2 anyway. So. Yeah.
Or if you don't want to be on them, you can just pay us $5 and you won't be on them.
Go fuck yourself. Patreon.com.
Love you guys. Thank you.
/Brohio Podcast.
Send us all your money. 10%.
I got a funny article for you. Polk County teacher accused of biting two students over a pickle jar.
Worth it.
A Polk County teacher is facing misdemeanor battery charges over allegations she bit two students over a jar of pickles. The teacher, Rhonda Rice, no relation to Ray Rice, the guy that beat the shit out of his girlfriend from the Baltimore Ravens, told school administration that she was, quote, playing around with students, according to a Polk County Public Schools spokesperson, quote, I think she needs to learn what she did and what she did was wrong, said Kathy Toro. Toro said she contacted 8 on your side after months passed without any action. Toro's 15-year-old nephew is a student at Bartow Middle School. She said in October, he and another student were working at the school store when Rice tried to take a jar of pickles. Her nephew and another student tried to take the jar back. Quote, she just bit them on the forearm, and of course they released, and she was able to get the pickles, but there's other ways to do that, said Toro. The students reported the behavior to school administrators who contacted Toro. Toro went to Bartow Police to press charges in November, according to an affidavit filed by Bartow Police. Rice admitted to licking the students.
No.
Not fucking biting them, all right?
Okay.
Even if it was, and she did lick them, but I don't believe she did. It's still not acceptable to me, said Toro. Bartow Police said the state attorney's office have filed 2 misdemeanor battery charges against Rice. She is set to be arraigned on March 31st. In the meantime, she is no longer working at Bartow Middle School. She was placed on paid administrative leave pending a review. Upon completion of the review, Rice was suspended for 3 days and relocated to Sleepy Hill Middle School. Although she described her actions as playing around with students, we expect our employees to act professionally and serve as models of mature behavior. They must set a good example for students to follow, and anything less is unacceptable, wrote Polk County Public Spokesperson Jason Geary, in a statement. Rice has been a teacher in the Polk County Public School System since the year 2000. There are 4 prior disciplinary actions in her personnel file. Looks like it was all stuff for turn paperwork in late. But yeah, she tried to steal a jar of pickles. The boys said no. I will defend this pickle. You like pickles like that?
You
get down with pickles?
Love pickles. Love them.
I think there's a lot of variety that is uncharted territory when it comes to flavors of pickles.
Yeah.
I love various flavors. I don't like regular pickles.
I'm a huge spicy pickle fan.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Yeah, if you get them, oh man, they're so good. This past weekend, we were just
eating pickles,
pounding them, yeah.
Shoving pickles up.
Drinking, eating a bunch of fucking pickles. I ate so many Tostitos Scoops chips that my fucking tongue was raw from all the salt.
Wow.
Dude, I fucking killed it.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it was drunk food, man. It was.
Where was this at?
Our friend's house that lives by me.
Fuck you then, dude. I don't even have any friends.
I think you were on a date night.
Even if you would have invited me, I wouldn't have went because you'd be like, hey, I'm inviting some friends over. I'd be like, I'm not your friend. You're fucking eating Tostitos with somebody else.
You were having a date night.
I was. Where'd we go? We went to, I don't remember where we went. That wasn't me.
It was a chair crack. Somebody else.
something that's been going on. We had a lot of people that have reached out that said they were touched by my story of the robbery.
Yeah.
You know, it was emotional.
Super sad.
Emotional damage. I went through it. And some people wrote and said, why didn't your fucking dog do anything? Tell you something. My dog, Bruce, is almost 14 years old. All this dog does is lick his own penis and walk around on the hardwood floor of my house and create noise. He doesn't do much else.
Lives that life.
He is the perfect family dog. He loves unconditionally. You could take a fucking hot poker iron and shove it in his ass and he wouldn't do anything. I've walked into the room before where the kids are babies mm-hmm. and they're crawling on his head, shoving their thumb like second knuckle deep in Bruce's eyeball, and Bruce just doesn't do anything.
He's just about it.
One relationship that Bruce has maintained over the years is with my cat, Pumpkin.
Yeah.
So the way this relationship is very much a one-way street. I've been in relationships like this. It's not fun. So what happens? About once a day, Pumpkin comes upstairs from the basement, and she walks in front of Bruce, and she starts like wiggling her ass, just throwing it back and forth.
Just dropping it.
Throwing it, getting it hot, throwing it back and forth in a circle. What she wants done is she wants Bruce to clean her up. She wants Bruce to just...
So gross.
And he does it. He'll from her little kitty feet to the top of her little kitty cat tail, he'll lick her butt until it's completely clean. And it gets to the point where the licking is so rigorous that she starts to like arch her back and she's like,
oh man, old Pumpkin.
Because Bruce that's his thing, man. Mm-hmm.
He loves eating the booty.
Yeah, he loves eating her ass. It's not really, you know, we got this new dog, Pepper, who's a female, doesn't care about her ass. We have a giant gray cat, big floofy cat.
Yeah.
Really long hair.
She's meaner than...
Meaner than a goddamn rattlesnake.
She's like a wolverine.
But sometimes she'll get a dingleberry because she's got really poofy hair. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't even care about it. He doesn't even think to clean it for her. It's only Pumpkin.
So it's not even a flavor thing. He's just in love with Pumpkin.
He likes eating Pumpkin's ass.
He loves eating the pussy's ass.
So we acquire this new dog, Pepper, who is also a border collie. And this fucking dog's sole purpose on this earth is to torment and destroy the cats inside this home. This dog has relentless intelligence. This dog will cut off. This dog knows the escape routes of the cats and will seal off the escape routes. This dog knows how to maneuver the cats around the house to the point where she can corner the cats and bite them on the neck. She's she's like 9 months old, 10 months old.
Yeah.
She's a smart bird, man. She's a smart dog. So these cats have grown weary of coming upstairs and dealing with this fucking dog shit. They don't like dealing. Sorry, I had to stop again for a second there. The stream was all messed up. The burglar unplugged the Wi-Fi antenna. I didn't know that, but I fixed it. It's good now.
Probably what was wrong last week.
Yeah. Okay. Now, old Pumpkin, she's fucking sick and tired of dealing with this dog trying to fuck her up, right? Mm-hmm. So she hasn't really been coming up. But she started venturing up a little bit more recently, and she just defends herself. As soon as Pepper comes over, Pumpkin just starts tearing her up, fucking slapping her around, and Pepper's kind of getting the point. She's like, okay, this cat can't be fucked with. But not only has Pumpkin turned against Pepper, but now every time Bruce starts licking her butt, it's like someone's putting turpentine on a bobcat's ass. And Bruce, not a mean bone in this guy's body, is just like, what the fuck is this?
Hello, Bruce. He's a little derpy.
He'll try and fight through the fire. He's still trying to eat her butt, and she's just tearing his head up. She's biting him and scratching just not having him. It. And he's still just like, just trying to clean your butt for you. I know what you like. I'm just trying to clean your butt.
I used to do this all the time.
And he just keeps on trying to fight through the fires. Just trying to get through there. Just get him a couple licks on those nugs, dude. He knows what he wants.
Hey, yeah. Cultured taste.
But then yesterday, so Bruce is really old. He just sleeps all day. And we got like a gap under our bed from like the bed frame. Mm-hmm. And sometimes he's getting old now. He kind of struggles a little bit, get up on the hardwood floors. And next to our bed, sometimes he'll lay down on the hardwood floor. And when he gets up, he'll scoot. He'll start to scoot back when he gets up. And he'll go underneath of our bed. Well, while we were all gone yesterday, he completely went underneath the bed where he couldn't get out. And he shit all over himself. He shit all over the box springs on the bottom of my bed.
Oh, man. How do you manage that?
He shit under the rug and got the rug back on top of the shit, dude.
Got a poopy rug.
I had a poopy box spring. I had poopy everything.
Oh, geez.
And Stacy was really upset over that, which, I get it. It was bad. It stunk. The house stunk like shit for like an hour, man. But this stupid fucking dog just pushed himself under the bed and just had a poop. I felt so bad
for poor guy. Him. Little poopy boy.
Yeah. And he's just had an interesting week. The utter betrayal that he shows on his face with his cat is good.
Yeah, man. Poor guy.
Okay. Mothman.
Yeah.
We're 5 years into this goddamn thing.
How haven't we done this? And we've been there before.
Never done the Mothman.
I don't know.
You know, I think it's probably because everybody's done the Mothman.
That's true. He's a slut.
I didn't know a lot about him.
Yeah.
But yeah, he is a slut.
Everybody's done him.
Yeah. Everybody's done him. When you go to, where is it, Point Pleasant?
Yeah.
West Virginia? We went there for a live show.
We did.
And they have a statue there of Mothman there in the fucking town square.
Got a fucking ass that don't quit on
He's
him.
He's naked.
Yeah, naked
He's a
himself.
Naked moth.
His cakes are just hanging out.
His fucking butthole. Is and everyone goes there and just grabs his butt and you know, makes a little kissy
puts their tongue in between it
and his butt and stuff.
Yeah,
are we asking him if he likes that? No,
I'm not asking for consent. That's rape.
People are just doing it to him.
Sexual assault.
I think it's disgusting.
Yeah,
and I wouldn't do that to him.
Yeah, we respect him.
I respect you
a lot more than
man.
That.
And that's what you know. I guess. Well, let's get into the story.
Yeah, let's get into it.
It was a brisk day in West Virginia. And if you don't know anything about West Virginia, everybody's family there. They're all fucking each other. You got cousins fucking cousins. But then they've mutated into brothers and sisters. You've got brothers fucking sisters fucking brothers fucking cousins. Everybody there's got a big old fucking forehead that hangs over their eyes and lazy eyeballs and shit. Boy, you drive through the mountains of West Virginia. The mountains and the hills of West Virginia.
Just looks like one big human experiment.
It looks like the inside of a port-a-john.
Yeah.
The entire state does. A couple parts are beautiful. I met some really nice people there. But then I've met some people in West Virginia, and I thought to myself, boy, that person probably... you know, is the byproduct of someone jacking off in a sock.
Oh, yeah.
Just a really scary individual.
And you can look at him and just be like, man, they definitely eat glass.
They definitely eat glass. We got some paint chip destroyers there in West Virginia.
For sure.
God's country, you know, a lot of them, they believe in Jesus Christ, Lord, Savior. Mm-hmm. They go to church. They got them goddamn snake churches down there, too.
Oh, man, yeah. The Holy Rollers.
They got it all. They're doing it all down there. Where you're giant.
God-fearing people.
Lots of Mountain Dew. I think that's where Mountain Dew comes from. They mine it out of the mountains there, from the mountains of West Virginia. I do believe that's true.
I'm going to pour it down that statue's ass next time I'm there.
The luge.
Yeah, do the luge.
The Mothman Mountain Dew luge.
You guys, anybody that's down there with us, you're more than welcome to pick up on the luge, too.
Just do it. Show us.
Yeah, just fucking do it. Mm-hmm. Just do the do.
But yeah, like I said, it was a brisk day in West Virginia, November 12th. 1966.
Man, it's been a minute.
A long time ago. One of the coolest parts of this story for me, aside from it being Mothman, was the initial sighting.
Hell yeah.
Because there was a long period of time leading up to the event of the bridge collapse that it so infamously is associated with Mothman. There was a group, it was two cousins, I believe.
Who were definitely fucking?
Grave diggers.
Oh, hell yeah, some cemetery terries.
They were, you know, cemetery terries up there digging graves. You know, some people say, cemetery terry, what you doing up in here? He said, I'm setting booby traps. I'm going to be digging graves. Cemetery Terry doesn't dig graves.
That's true, yeah, you're right.
He's the protector of the cemetery.
That's true.
But these two people, two cousins, probably lovers. They were digging a grave for one of their brother-in-laws.
Keeping the family.
Yeah, that would be heartbreaking, man, to have to dig a grave for your own brother-in-law.
Oh, yeah.
My mom, my mother, she has one living brother and one living half-sister. She has lost 3 brothers.
Damn.
And if I remember correctly, 2 sisters. A lot of them died at a young age. She had a brother that died from, he was bedridden with a multiple sclerosis.
Oh, yeah. Family, yeah, MS.
And he passed away at a young age. She had another brother who was swimming in a creek, and he was the twin brother of my living uncle, and he drowned in the creek, and he was German Baptist. And at the funeral for the German Baptist, I think my dad said, they make the wife of the deceased take a pile of dirt and throw it into the grave first. That's like the thing in the German Baptist cult. Maybe it's some other religions as well, sure, or cultures. But that would be a hard one to do, take a pile of dirt and throw it on. You'd be the first one to throw it on their casket.
Yeah, that is rough.
Well, yeah, that's, these guys were digging a grave for their brother-in-law when up above in the sky, overhead, not too high up in the sky, but some type of massive figure soared over their head. A figure, a creature, a monster, a beast. What was it? It was the Mothman. The grave diggers would later be interviewed and describe what they saw as a brown human being.
Hmm. Okay. Big old motherfucker.
That's all they described it as.
It was a brown guy and he was flying.
This is back in there, a different time. Back when I was a boy, brown people were flying around. I was out there digging a grave for your Uncle Danny.
And they'd probably never seen a brown person before, because I'm sure they're like in the fucking hollers or something. They were probably just super fucking scared. Like, they had no idea what was going on.
I digged his grave. I didn't know he was your uncle, but he was your cousin, too. I don't got time to explain it. There ain't enough mountain there in West Virginia to explain all that to you, boy. Who you think's gonna win the Daytona 500? Probably not one of them fucking brown creatures flying around out there, don't they? This would be what many consider the first sighting of the Mothman. You flash forward only 3 days after that initial sighting, and another sighting of an unknown creature was reported. But this report, there was a little more detail to this one. This report described a white-winged creature about 6 or 7 feet tall standing in front of the car that all 4 witnesses were inside of. So there was more than 2 witnesses for this one. One of the eyewitnesses from that incident, 2 of them actually, Roger Scarberry and Stephen Mallet. Old Mallet the Mullet told the local paper, the Point Pleasant Register, that the beast had bright red eyes about 6 inches apart, a wingspan of 10 goddamn
Holy
feet.
Fuck.
Big brown fucker. And the apparent urge to avoid the bright headlights of the car.
Hmm.
Which,
that's kind of...
Yeah. Aren't moths attracted to light?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. That's
just the opposite.
Yeah, weird.
All the witnesses in the vehicle agreed that the creature was very wobbly, walking on the ground, almost like it was in a drunken stupor. He was kind of stumbling around. He was out there on the fucking town square Mothman statue doing luge
fucking
chugs.
Mothman was trashed. Yeah, fucking shit face
tore out of the frame, dude. He's out there in a cornfield just calling for dinosaurs.
Been drinking Bloody Marys all morning.
They roll up on him and flash him at the headlights. Of course he wants to scare you off. For as dumb as he walked, whatever this thing was, whatever this creature was, the 4 witnesses claimed that he could fly over 100 miles per hour.
Why is always, it's always the wait, which one? Hang on, let me see. This was wing.
What's the speed they use in the air? The Knox or knockers or knots?
Is Knox is that the water or is that the air?
Fuck, I don't know, dude. Doesn't matter.
Oh, man.
One of the main witnesses from the incident knew the story was very far-fetched, so much so that he said that he probably wouldn't have even come forward with his story had he not been with the 3 other witnesses. The 4 went to the local press there in Point Pleasant, which... with much skepticism, the local newspaper printed the story in the papers saying, quote, the creature was Like a man with wings.
Hmm.
More sightings started to pour in over the coming days, and this is a little newspaper clipping from 1966.
Oh, man, this is old.
I'll let you take it there.
Sure. Let me see here. This is a title. Monster bird with red eyes may be a crane. Okay, let me see if I can read this. The mysterious Mothman was still at large near this normally quiet Ohio River community, but the excitement he caused is dying down. The excitement began 2 weeks ago when Mr. and Mrs. Roger Scarberry and Mr. and Mrs. Steve Mallett, all of Point Pleasant, spotted a large white apparition flying at high speed following their car. Nothing white can move 100 miles per hour. I'm sorry, but...
No, it can't. Sorry.
They told a deputy that it looked like a flying man with 10-foot wings.
Deputy!
They said it was about 7 feet tall with large red eyes. These reports brought curious crowds to the... what's that say?
Read, so...
to the... is that McClintal Wildlife? Sure.
Oh, the McClintal Wildlife Station.
Stations. Where the incident occurred. Volunteer fire department members had to keep traffic moving. Suspect, Sandhill Crane. Okay. During the next 3 days, at least 8 persons reported various similar creatures. On November 18th, 2 volunteer firemen, Captain Paul Yoder and Benjamin Not Enix, that's it, Enix, yeah, said they saw what definitely was a very large bird with large red eyes. Dr. Robert L. Smith, associate professor of wildlife biology at WVU, said the descriptions all fitted the Sandhill Crane, the second largest American crane, which stands almost as high as a man and has a wingspan of more than 7 feet. He said the red eyes could be the large circles of bare reddish flesh around the crane's eyes. Smith said that the bird apparently had wandered out of its normal migration route. Okay. When Salvation Army Major Gabriel something another was arrested during the 1960 disturbances, this is so fucking hard to read, in the Congo and charged with
This is a different story.
Never mind. Sorry.
Yep. But after
can we see what that crane looks like?
What's it called?
The Sandhill Crane.
Let's look at it real quick.
Sandhill Crane, second largest American crane. Yeah. I'm not buying it.
Yeah, it's not Mothman.
That's a straight fucking bird.
If I saw that, I'd say that's a goddamn bird. I'd say, Dad, that's a bird.
They do have this one owl.
Chupacabra?
It's like an owl that they said could have potentially been the Mothman, but it wasn't an owl. That was
from the Kelly Hopkinsville incident as well, where it's kind of...
It's like a flat-faced owl, and it's fucking huge.
Yeah.
I don't remember what kind of an owl it is, but yeah, it's terrifying looking.
I can imagine seeing those birds in the middle of the night would probably be pretty scary.
Sure. Maybe a crane could look like that. I don't know.
There were 8 major sightings reported over a 3-day span during this time. There was hysteria all over the area by this point. But then people started to ask, should we be terrified or is there actually something really up there? Rob cited in the last episode, there were 2 volunteer firefighters that claimed to have seen a very large bird with red eyes. And this next article, this is from a newspaper at the time. It says, West Virginia, 8 people say they saw a flying creature near this Ohio. Oh, we already read this one.
Is this the same one?
No. That talks about the brown
man. It's a little different.
Yeah. Kenneth Duncan of Blue Creek near Charleston said he and some other men were digging his brother-in-law's grave on Saturday when something that looked like a brown human being buzzed past. It was gliding through the trees and was in sight for about a minute, Duncan said. 4 other men helping to dig the grave didn't see it. The thing, described as a huge bird-like creature with eyes like red reflectors and a wingspan of 10 fucking feet, was reported to police by Steve Mallett, and the same ones we cited from above. But the newspapers were all running articles about this thing that sightings from all over the area were pouring in over... Something flying around in the sky that was not a bird. It was more of a creature.
7 to 10 foot wingspan. I mean, it's That's pretty fucking big.
Yeah, it could have been a mutated crane.
Okay.
I'm going to explain this real quick. It was reported that the area the crane was reported in was called the TNT area.
Okay.
Name the local. And this is my experience when I went to West Virginia, because I used to work in geotechnical drilling, mm-hmm. and sometimes we have to go knock on residents' doors to let them know that we were there, we were going to be on their property. And sometimes these guys would answer these doors.
There's some very crane-like people.
And I would say, what the fuck was that? They'd have, you know, flip-flops on their head.
Yeah.
They'd have horns and shit.
Yeah.
They'd have hair grown out of the mole in their nose. Real nasty bastards. Big fucking heads, too, man. They had heads like bastard tomcats.
Fucking melon heads.
What? Yeah, they were water heads for sure.
Water heads.
Well, what the fuck was going on up in the mountains there in West Virginia? And I remember one specific incident. We were working right on a main, I shouldn't say, it was a county road. No one lived around there. But we were really close to this guy's front door. We got there. And they had facilitated, because we always had to use water anytime we cored for rock, mm-hmm. anytime we drilled for rock, because you got to put water when you core through the rock or burn the diamond bit up. And we were going to use his pond for water. We're going to get a trash pump and pump the water out of his pond, pump it into the ground. And then, it had been facilitated before we got there. We were going to be able to use, his water. But I had to knock on his door to let him know we were there. I knocked on his door. And he answered the door, and this fucking guy was so big that when he was standing in his door, the top of his doorway only covered from like his top lip down. And I could see, and he was standing so close to the door that I couldn't see his face from like the lip up. So I didn't know what he looked like from the lip up.
He was just staring into his fucking door frame.
Yeah. But this guy had on Crocs. And he had the ends of the feet cut out of the Crocs. Like
no way.
He had them turned into like flip-flop sandals, and he stunk like a bucket of dead frogs. He smelled like cow shit, a litter box, old cum. He smelled awful, dude. It was disgusting. And I can't remember his name. I said, sir, we're here. We're going to use your pond if that's okay, if you have any problems. He said, yeah, it's all fine, dandy. But if I see anybody get near that cow back there by the barn, there's going to be some questions, and I'm going to be the one asking them. I was thinking to myself, what does this guy so worried about us getting near this cow for? And about lunchtime, we're all sitting there eating out of our coolers and stuff.
Yeah.
This fucking giant comes out of his house and walks into the street in his Croc sandals. And he said, how's everything going out here? And he was ugly, dude. He looked like some Hills Had Eyes shit, some Devil's
sweet.
Rejects.
Sweet.
He said, we're doing good. We got about 4 or 5 hours left and we'll be out of your hair. And he said, good, good. Anybody go near that cow?
That's a prize cow, man.
No, we did not go near the cow.
They just didn't want you to see how ravaged its butthole was.
And then he walked away, and the dude I was drilling with, he was an older guy, kind of like half fucking gone all the time. He's like, did you see that shit? I said, what shit? He said, that motherfucker's jeans were unzipped. This is the guy that I was drilling with was the same guy that swore to God that China was making our shoes progressively smaller in an effort to cripple us so they could take over our country. He thought that, like, if you bought a size 10 15 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and then you bought a size 10 today, the size 10 would be infinitely smaller today than it was 10, 15 years ago, because China's been progressively making our shoes smaller in an effort to cripple us, because we're not fucking fat enough that they had to cripple our feet so they could overthrow our country.
Did you I think we may have talked about this before. Maybe you haven't. Maybe I've learned this from here, from the doing the podcast, or maybe I've seen it elsewhere. But you see, like, that thing about how they would do was it against Germany during the World War? I don't remember which one it was, or it was, let's just use for Germany.
Some bad stuff back then.
Where they were doing like the psychological warfare, where they were dropping off these care packages like to U.S. soldiers, but they would drop them off in places that they knew were going to get intercepted, and it was always filled with super huge condoms, so that they thought everybody in America just had huge dicks.
Big old sausages.
Big old hogs.
I didn't know that, man.
Yeah, it's really stupid, but...
That's awesome. What the fuck are we supposed to do with these?
It would have like... it'd be like normal care packages, but there'd always be like huge condoms.
That's good. Yeah, we put our fucking potatoes in these.
Oh, shit.
That's usually how I carry my potatoes around, is in my foreskin.
I like to keep mine there, too.
It's my method of travel.
Yeah, keister them, too.
But these cranes were spotted in the TNT area, a name that locals gave to a series of nearby bunkers that were once used for manufacturing munitions during World War II. It's been suggested that the bunkers have leaked toxic materials into the neighboring wildlife preserve, possibly affecting nearby animals. Thus creating these mutant cranes that have grown to such sizes that if one saw them flying around in the sky, that one would say, well, god damn, that's not a regular fucking crane.
I guess that could make sense.
That's a Mothman, if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, you get a couple of deformed cranes that mate and have a deformed baby, and...
You got a big bastard.
You got a big jug head, a big waterhead crane.
That little pond by us growing up, Plaza, we'd go there and catch fish. You'd bring the fish out of the water, and it would have a fist. It'd be jacking itself off, and it would have a horn. It'd have
human ears. And
it'd
shit.
Have fucking jean jackets and stuff. These fish were disgusting. I don't know what it was about that pond. It was a nuclear.
Oh.
You know, there was some scary shit coming out of that water, buddy.
Yeah, man, that place saw some shit.
I remember my brother brought home a fish from there one time just to show my dad. This thing was like cyclopsed. It had four buttholes. It couldn't swim. It just like had hands that like crawl around the water. It's like a mud puppy.
Everybody would play in that shit when they were kids, too. Like, it was like the fucking... The swimming hole.
I know. And now every time I go near like a radon detector, the thing goes off.
It explains so much about our area. It like does. About the kids that grew up here.
There's also belief that it is someone that had kind of found lightning in a bottle, creating a hoax, and just knew the area so well that it knew where to go to kind of be in an area that it was super, they were super familiar with, that they knew people would be, but there wouldn't be a lot of people. I'm believing there's so many different sightings that this was probably something, not someone.
Okay.
Especially if the bitch is flying 100 miles an hour. I don't know about
That's
all
a
that.
Fast motherfucker right
That's
there.
That's a fast goddamn Mothman. No wonder them butt cheeks clapping in the wind.
Fast as fuck, boy.
I'm fast as fuck, boy. I be flying around here. It sound like two pieces of bologna flopping in the wind. My fucking butt cheeks clapping together. Some people are like, hey, man. Slow the fuck down, Mothman. I'm like, I'm fast motherfucking Mothman. I think that out of all the superheroes, he's definitely probably my favorite. All the cryptid superheroes.
Yeah.
This theory posed that when the national press ran with the Mothman story, people who lived in Point Pleasant began to panic. Locals became convinced they were seeing the Mothman in birds and other large animals. Even long after the prankster had given up on the joke. So the belief was, maybe at first you saw someone creating a hoax, but then beyond that, they were still seeing birds, cranes, owls, and they were still latched onto this Mothman theory. It's worth noting that the Mothman legend bears a resemblance to several demon archetypes found among those who experience sleep paralysis, which may suggest that the visions are nothing more than the embodiment of typical human fears pulled from the depths of the unconscious and grafted onto real-life animal sightings when people panic.
I don't know if we've talked about it before, but have you ever had sleep paralysis?
Yeah, we've talked about this before.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure we have. I'm sure I know the story, but I can't remember.
Yeah, we did an entire episode called Sleep Paralysis. Yeah,
I know we did that, but I couldn't remember. I'm sure we talked about it there, but...
I had it once when I just moved into a room with my younger brother. We both moved up in the attic, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and something was, like, swirling over my head, and then I crawled to the end of the bed to kind of call for help, mm-hmm. And when I started calling for help, I was like... I'm trying to scream, and nothing was coming out.
Oh, shit.
I said, my mom and dad are just going to let me fucking die up here. They're going to leave me alone. No one's going to come save me. I laid back down, and I woke up with the worst neck pain I've ever had in my entire life.
Damn.
Yeah, weird experience, man.
Yeah, my ghost experience was kind of similar to that, but like I don't know if it was technically sleep paralysis or if I was just fucking panicked.
All fucking pump full of cum.
But I want to go through like a terrifying sleep paralysis
like a demonic
moment.
Like a demonic
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah. Just to say I've gone through it just to see what the hubbub's all about.
You know, and
like people are like, yeah, it's so fucking cool. Yeah, you don't want it's do a that. Thing to do.
I think the people that have really gone through shit, because we've had a lot of people come on the show that tell us about certain things.
Mm-hmm.
I think people that have really experienced a life-altering thing or a really profound experience, I don't think those people tell their stories.
Yeah.
If you are one of those people and you want to tell your story, send us an email, brohiopodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to listen to it. We'd love to talk to you.
We got to get one of my friends on here to tell his fucking story. I've been wanting to get him on here for so long to tell his story. Yeah, I don't know if he will or not. He told me, and it was that shit gave me fucking chills.
Really? Yeah.
Gave me chills. That house was so bad, they tore it down.
Really?
Yeah.
Where was it at?
Kind of over where I used to live, but in between where me and Roy lived.
Wow. Okay.
So where I lived, but on the other side of the highway.
Nice.
Yeah.
You'll have to talk to him.
Yeah, I know. Super dope.
And then there was also some paranormal explanations. There were some complicated theories that weave together aliens, UFOs, and precognition. These theories paint the Mothman as either a harbinger of doom or sinisterly. Oh my God.
That's a hard ass word to say.
Sinisterly.
That doesn't even sound like a word.
Sinisterly.
Just say a more sinister.
In a more sinister manner. Yeah. Its cause, a legend that has its roots in the tragedy that befell Point Pleasant shortly after the Mothman arrived. That takes us to a little over a year.
Oh, yes.
After the initial sightings.
The old Silver Bridge.
December 15th, 1967. A little over a year later, after the first initial sightings of the grave diggers. Speaking of grave diggers, are you a fan of Dave Matthews?
That was a weird change of like
Grave Digger.
Not really.
I really like that song.
Yeah.
By Dave Matthews. I've been listening to a lot of Alter Bridge, is what I've been listening to. Because I can't fucking have new Creed anymore.
Creed minus Scott Stapp.
And I feel like anytime I'm wrenching on my hog, I gotta be listening to either A, Kid Rock.
Keep it American as hell.
Creed.
Mm-hmm.
But I've kind of ran out of their tunes. I've listened to fucking Devil Without a Cause so many times now that I got to listen to something, you know.
Did you listen to Kid Rock's new song?
No.
Jesus Christ, that's so fucking bad.
It's true. Dude, he has lost his goddamn fucking mind.
Yeah. It's so fucking bad.
He is.
It's with some guy. I think his name's like fucking Monster Truck or something. Dude, I fucking swear. It's
I'm starting an album.
Speaking of Gravedigger,
I'm doing an album. They're going to call me Monster Truck. What a stupid name.
It's exactly what you would think it would be about.
Man,
it's
Cole Brandon, man. I'm a monster truck.
It's something.
I'm going to ride the president over with my big tires.
It's something similar to that.
Oh, my God.
Oh, so shit. Fucking bad. Yo, what is it? Oh, man.
Monster Truck.
It's a...
Call me Monster Dick.
Yeah, featuring Monster Truck.
Why would anybody want to do that?
It's called Don't Tell Me How to Live. It's so... It's just like... It's about like him being anti-mask and shit. And
okay.
It's so fucking bad.
You do you, man.
Oh, man. But what do you... I mean, it's Kid Rock. What do you expect?
Yeah, it's...
That's exactly what I'd expect him to put out.
He's a freako. Call him sick.
It's
he with a 10-foot dick.
I wonder how they closed his coffin if his dick's that big. Because you know they got him a small coffin, so he has like a 4-foot long coffin.
Coiled it up.
Yeah, if he's 3'9", they gave him, let's say, 4.5 foot. What are they doing with the rest of 6 foot of his dick?
I don't know, bro.
Oh, man.
I'm going to put you in charge of that one, that project right there. I think you could really get to the bottom of that. I think you could do
it. To the bottom of his dick or the case?
Yeah, the bottom of any dick. Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like if we needed to break into the next stratosphere of podcasting, mm-hmm. and it required one of us to be intimate with an older male management type figure, I would send you. I don't think I would be what they were looking for. You, on the other hand... you're pretty attractive. You got a good, you got like a, you got an ass like a cup of water. I think that you could really do some damage, man. I think an old executive style would really latch onto you.
Yeah, I could see that.
And really just.
Well, thank you. That's sweet. I appreciate that.
Just me saying that I would.
I think that's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
Yeah. No, I mean it. It's,
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, I really want you to do that.
Thank you.
Just for practice. Okay. I just want you to practice it.
For the sake of this podcast, I will do that.
1967, December 15th, the Silver Bridge, the incident that's most synonymous with the Mothman. And this is the plaque that sits in the location of the former Silver Bridge. It says, constructed in 1926. Connecting Point Pleasant and Kanaga, Ohio. Name credited to aluminum-colored paint used...
Okay, you didn't have to say that's why it's called Silver Bridge.
First I-bar suspension bridge of its type in U.S. Rush hour collapse on the 15th of December, 1967, resulted in 31 vehicles falling into river, killing 46, injuring 9. Failed I-bar joint and weld identified as cause resulted in congressional passage of National Bridge Inspection Standards of 1968. The day in question, there was a lot of traffic backed up on the bridge. At the time that the bridge was built, a Model T Ford weighed about 1,500 pounds. At the time of the collapse, the average car weighed over 4,000 pounds.
Oops. I was going to say, that's lighter than shit.
West Virginia, like, I didn't mind. The fucking bridge is a bridge, man. A bitch is a bitch. A bridge is a bridge. We're going to build a fucking bridge up, drive the fucking cars over the goddamn bridge. We're going to make our own fucking moonshine in the woods.
Now, I drive my truck over that creek all the time, and I never got any problem. Nothing ever collapsed.
We're praying cars tonight. Daryl's not coming. Y'all know why Daryl's not coming? Daryl sucked his daddy's dick. We don't want Daryl here because him and his daddy love each other. So Daryl's not coming. The people that built the bridge were fucking idiots, okay? The bridge designs, the bridge design featured very little.
It was made of Legos.
very little redundancy, meaning that if one part failed, there was also nothing in place to prevent other parts of the bridge from failing as
no
well.
No fail safe. That's great.
Without warning, a single eye bar near the top of the bridge on the Ohio side. Fuck!
Don't blame it on us, motherfucker. It
cracked. The chain snapped in the bridge. It's careful equilibrium disturbed. Fell to pieces, plunging cars and pedestrians into the icy water of the Ohio River below. And if I know anything about the Ohio River, that thing's color like a fucking turd.
Yeah, speaking of the plaza water.
Brown, stinky, and nasty.
We went on the, whenever we were in Louisiana, we went on this steamboat cruise on the Mississippi.
Mississippi.
Dude, that Mississippi has fucking got some problems.
Oh, man.
That is the brownest water I've ever seen. That's some Flint, Michigan water.
Yeah, the Mississippi is nasty.
Yeah, dude, that's rough. It was very rough.
So the bridge collapsed. It killed all those. 46 people died.
Damn.
Either by drowning or being crushed by the wreckage. Let me see if I can... got the little...
Pipe in some audio?
I don't think I'm going to be able to do it.
No.
Fuck me, man. I deleted the USB track, and I'm not going to be able to find it. Actually, hold on a second. Hold on. Okay, kids, I think I found it.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and... This is the news story.
Saw. Mrs. Foster, what was the first thing that you saw?
Well, I heard before I saw anything. I was standing right here in my kitchen preparing dinner, and my two boys came out the back door down the steps to get their bicycles. They got down to the bottom of the steps here, and they started screaming. We heard this terrible boom, and my boys looked around and saw the bridge starting to fall. Well, as soon as I heard the sound, I, of course, ran out the back door to see what was wrong with the boys and what the noise was. And as I come out my back door, of course, I could see what was happening. And I stood right here and watched the whole bridge.
What did the bridge look like?
Well, it's
bridge, dude.
It was silver.
Just like you would build a bridge out of child's building toys. And then you just take a stick.
Fucking told you, Legos.
That's the way it went.
Did you see all the trucks and cars falling?
I could see part of them, yes. From where I'm standing.
Oh, yeah, you can see
it
clouds in
the
background.
Trees and things are,
oh,
I couldn't see too much.
Mr. Ellis went first.
This guy's like dead in a hospital bed. He has this tiny little microphone. Why is it's like a normal like a lapel mic that you'd wear on like your collar.
Yeah, microphone's like, the size of my pinky nail, but this motherfucker lying in the bed right here, this looks like he had a lobotomy.
he's got cuts and scrapes all over his face.
It looks like this dude had the he's gonna start talking. He's gonna be like, I lost the fucking bed.
First indication you had that everything was all wrong.
Well, I came to myself after, I imagine it was after the truck came to rest on the shore there, on the ground. Someone was trying to get me out. That's all I can remember. See, I was in the sleeper.
Were you asleep at the time the bridge fell?
Yes, sir, I was.
And what was the first thing you realized after the collapse?
I realized someone was either pulling me out of the truck cab or lifting me onto a stretcher or something like that. I was so addled, I was trying to figure out, but I couldn't. I believe they was lifting me onto a stretcher.
What happened to the man who was driving the truck?
He's just across the room here. He has a broken back, and I'm not sure, but maybe one or two or both of his legs broke.
The man who was in the truck with you, have you spoken to him since?
Oh, yes, He keep him under sedation because he has quite a bit of pain. But he comes to and we talk a little bit occasionally.
Ever have an accident like this or anything like this before?
Not too serious, no. This is the worst I've seen.
You ever been on a bridge that's collapsed before?
You're a goddamn fucking suspension bridge fall on your head there, Daryl.
Oh, man.
That was their first newscast ever.
Yeah, that was an awful interview right there.
I feel so bad.
Man, even I could have done better than that.
Now, following the Mothman sightings, the bridge collapse was the second terrible and bizarre thing to put Point Pleasant on the map in a year's time. So it didn't take long for some to connect the two between Mothman and the bridge. Locals at the time said they saw Mothman. And this is why Mothman is so synonymous with the bridge collapse. Saw Mothman up there clapping his booty on top of the bridge.
He's just twerking.
Or flying over the Silver Bridge, which was a suspension bridge over the Ohio River. New York resident Steve Moran captured a photograph. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself here. But back to Mothman being a possibly being a harbinger of doom. So when you see Mothman, it perhaps means that something fucking bad is going to happen.
Yeah, you don't want to see Mothman.
No, you don't. And with that being said, there's also, so at the time we have the collapse of the Silver Bridge. Quite a few people lost their lives. Quite a few people say they saw some type of winged creature above the bridge, perched on top of the bridge before the bridge collapse. Flash forward to September 11th, 2001, to the single greatest catastrophe in the history of the United States of America. The terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center.
Damn, it just got dark.
It did get dark.
I'm kind of scared to make any jokes.
New York resident Steve Moran captured a photograph of a winged entity near the ruins of the World Trade Center shortly after the attacks on September 11th. According to Moran, I live in New York, and when I heard the Twin Towers were attacked, I immediately rushed to the scene to take photographs. First of all, I took pictures of medical workers who were providing assistance. Then I took pictures around the site towards the south of Greenwich Street. When I got home, I realized there was an object that caught my eye. Speculation has grown as to the nature of the flying creature, with some even saying that it was Mothman once again appearing at the scene of a mass tragedy, much like he appeared at the scene of the Silver Bridge collapse. Although others believe it to be a bird made to appear larger than it actually is through forced perspective. As for Moran, He thinks it could be an angel. Quote, looks like an angel was hovering above the ruins of the World Trade Center fractions. Maybe it's not a pigeon or a stork because of their large size. Moreover, we do not have the pelicans or bird carcasses here in New York. If you scroll down a little further, Rob, ascribing an angelic origin to the Mothman isn't a new idea, since some believers have for years attributed his reported appearances at large disasters to his being the, quote, angel of death, an understandable if perhaps misguided reaction as one searches for any sort of meaning in the face of such sudden calamity. In this picture, right above the ruins of the World Trade Center.
Yeah.
You see some type of winged being flying above the wreckage here.
Yeah, I mean it.
It looks more like an angel.
It looks, yes, I was going to say, it looks like a fucking angel.
Which.
It looks fake to me, but.
It does look a little hokey.
Yeah.
A little hokey pokey. Turn yourself around. But. With that, with that being, with the Silver Bridge, there was the belief that Mothman possibly brings news of doom, that he is a bearer of bad news. But then there's also some that subscribe to the theory of, hey, he shows up before something bad's going to happen to warn people that something bad is
going to happen. He's like the Paul Revere of...
So they can get the fuck out of the way.
Yeah.
And
that was his name, right?
Yeah.
The British are coming.
The British are coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. The, but
he's a narc.
This gets me to my next point here, and I didn't write any of this down. I just kind of put it all in my brain.
Oh, yeah.
But in 2011 in Joplin, Missouri, they were, the city of Joplin was leveled by a tornado. Some say it was an F3. Some say it was even as big as an F5.
Brock Lesnar.
But the city was fucking destroyed. I think this tornado killed north of 150 people.
Oh, damn.
And injured 1,500 people.
Ooh.
It really did a number on the city of Joplin, Missouri.
Big mother trucker.
It was a big mother trucker. But after the tornadoes... Rob, there were dozens, maybe even hundreds of accounts from children of some type of winged creature being that was there during the storm that saved them. In one instance, there was a fucking kid found 6 miles from his house wrapped up in like a green carpet. And emergency responders saw this kid out in the field. They ran out there. The kid told the responders where he lived. They said, "How did you get here?" And the kid said, "The butterfly people brought me here."
What the fuck?
All of these kids had these experiences with what they call, they all called them the butterfly people. There was another story of a family that got inside the tornado, ripped the roof off, a portion of the roof off, and they were in a bathroom or a hallway, and this little girl looked up and she saw some type of winged creature that swooped down and was hovering over the hole that was ripped in the roof by the tornado, and just stood there over the hung over the hole while the tornado just ripping everything to shreds. They ducked down. They took cover. When they come back up for air, the entire house was leveled except for the room, the bathroom, the hallway, or whatever that they were in.
Huh.
But that child said there was a butterfly person that...
What if these tornadoes are caused by the butterfly people's wings? They just want to take people...
But the first account that I read, there was a dad and a son that were driving, trying to get away from the tornado. The tornado changed paths, and they had nowhere to go. They just had
that sucks.
They had to hunker down their vehicle. While they're in the vehicle, a car up ahead of them was lifted up off the ground and was thrust right at their windshield. The vehicle was coming right at them. In midair, the vehicle, it was like it hit a fucking brick wall and then flew out of the way. Huh. The dad said there's no way, with the way physics work, that this vehicle could have changed paths the way that it did. He asked his son if he saw it. His son said, clear as day, the butterfly people grabbed the vehicle and tossed it out of the way. That the kids saw the butterfly people grab the vehicle and tossed it out of the way. Literally hundreds of these children had of these butterfly people during the Joplin tornadoes. And you can look up the butterfly people.
That's what I'm getting ready to do.
Yeah. There's another instance of a family that was out in a field. They had to hunker down, and the little girl looked up, and there was a winged being that was kind of hunched over the family covering them that only she saw. There's a lot of good accounts of these butterfly people. Some really heroic stories. I don't know what they, I don't know what these butterfly people were. Hmm. There were some children that, that said that they were picked up by several of these butterfly people that kind of took care of them.
Huh.
Really cool stories. That's
really
cool.
Which
to me, kind of along the same lines as Mothman, is Mothman showing up to warn people that something bad's happening? Is Mothman bringing the doom with him? I don't know.
Hmm.
But these butterfly people, kind of along the same lines as Mothman.
Yeah, pretty similar. Maybe opposites?
Oh, shit, dude, I don't know.
They're like mortal enemies.
Maybe Mothman is an angel of some type. I don't know.
Could be.
Then there's April 26th, 1986, little incident called the Chernobyl meltdown.
Oops.
Reactor number 4 became unstable after employees simulated a power outage. Colossal amounts of energy were released, causing the activator core to explode. For 9 days, fire consumed the devastated structure and spewed out astronomical levels of radioactive contaminants. To this day, Chernobyl's still fucked up beyond repair. That area will never, ever, ever be habitable. It will never, ever be the same. Humanity felt the dire implications of a fission calamity. Dozens of first responders agonizingly perished from radiation exposure. Cancer rates skyrocketed, and babies were born with appalling birth defects. Pripyat, a once thriving city, had become an uninhabitable toxic wasteland and would remain so for the next 20,000 and will remain so for the next 20,000 years. And this comes from the website Down the Chupacabra Hole.
My favorite hole to go down.
Locals who lived in close proximity to the eventual exclusion zone of Chernobyl repeatedly encountered a mysterious creature. Witnesses described its appearance as resembling a giant mutated headless man with piercing red eyes. Petrified onlookers dubbed the curious aerial fiend the Blackbird of Chernobyl.
Hmm.
Those who happened upon the sinister entity suffered from haunting nightmares and menacing phone calls. Citizens began to live in constant, crippling fear that they may be the next victim to behold this nefarious figure. An abysmal winged creature was terrorizing the formerly quaint town. However, those who survived the initial blast and consequential blaze shared an unbelievable testimony. According to workers on duty that fateful night, a massive humanoid emerged from the decimated reactor's noxious black fumes. It appeared bird-like in nature and possessed a 20-foot wingspan. Two glowing crimson eyes peered through the contaminated smog. Onlookers gawked as the peculiar beast swiftly guided overhead before vanishing into obscurity. All individuals present during the disturbing encounter would ultimately succumb to atomic irradiation. The Blackbird was never to be seen in Chernobyl ever again. And after the Chernobyl meltdown, the KGB went through dire efforts to keep a lid on the stories that were being circulated of a Chernobyl Blackbird. They were going door to door, silencing people, threatening to kill people, threatening to make people go away if they kept talking about the Blackbird of Chernobyl. There was also some people that said that they saw UFOs hovering over Chernobyl that shot Chernobyl with a fucking laser blast at the time of the reactor meltdown.
Damn.
Whether any of those are true, I don't know. But the legs associated with the Blackbird of Chernobyl, there were a lot of sightings. That story has legs for me. The Blackbird of Chernobyl. A lot of accounts of something coming through the ruins there that was saving people and kind of performing the work of a savior of some type, I guess.
Interesting.
There were helicopter drivers helicopter pilots that had come out publicly that said, look, we were up in the air for Chernobyl. There was something flying through the air that we had to go around, that if we would have hit it, it would have fucked our ride up. So these helicopter pilots were silenced almost immediately by the KGB as well. They were starting to tell their stories. The KGB said, no, you're not telling that shit. But these guys initially come out and said, look, we saw something up in the air. Whatever it was, if we would have fucking hit it, it would have broke our helicopter. So we had to swerve around it.
Damn.
But these two disasters were not only ones where the Mothman made his grisly appearances. He turns up in March of 2011 at the Fukushima power plant in Japan just prior to a massive 9.1 magnitude earthquake.
Jeez.
Yeah. A man by the name of Marcus Pules detailed his encounter with the Mothman at the Fukushima plant in March 2011. In the days immediately preceding the disaster, Marcus was with a friend at the power plant inspecting a meteorological station. His friend was tending and offered the following account of the sighting. It says, when all of a sudden we heard a loud and distinct whoosh. At first, my mind thought it might be the sound of the distant waves crashing ashore. When we heard it again, followed by an ear-pitching screech that shook me down to the bone and made the hairs on the back of my neck stand on end. We looked around for the cause of the noise when we heard the sound again. The best way I can describe it is a city bus's brakes when they're in need of service. Yeah, precisely. You nailed that one.
There you go.
Loud and ear-splitting. We both continued to look around when my friend's attention was drawn toward the plant by another nearby couple. A younger couple out for a walk were staring toward the plant, arms outstretched and the obvious fear in their voice showing itself. I looked toward the plant, and against the lights of the plant, I thought I saw a figure silhouetted against the moonlit sky. The figure was large and black. From the distance I was at, it looked to be sitting on top of one of the square-shaped buildings. It sat there for about 5 seconds and unfurled a large set of what I would only describe as large black wings. The only reference I can compare them to are the old John Travolta movie Michael, where the main character unfurls his wings and spreads them out to their full length. To say that the creature was large was an understatement. The creature then took flight and circled the plant at least 4 to 5 times. Some circuits he took at a fast pace. Some he seemed to slow down, all while he kept his attention on the row of square-shaped buildings that I later found out housed the reactors. The creature then came towards us, flying at least 25 to 30 feet off the ground. The younger couple who had noticed the creature first were now screaming and cowering. Fuck, man. The man shielding the woman while shielding his head with a jacket. My friend and I looked in awe as this creature flew over us. That's when I noticed the two large red eyes. They seemed to glow from within and with a blood red hue. They were unblinking in the 3 to 4 seconds we saw them. They were looking straight at us. We knew this creature knew we could see it and made no attempt to disguise itself. The sick, intense, and overwhelming feeling of dread came over us. The feeling that we shouldn't be there was, to say the least, overwhelming.
Whew.
That's Fukushima. Fukunaki, Fukushima.
Fukushima.
The goddamn Mothman is international. He's
everywhere.
He is an international man of mystery. Much like our friend Austin Powers.
Yeah. We're very close to him.
Yeah, baby. What good movies to grow up on for us. I know. Those are really good movies.
Yeah, it is.
Funny fucking movies. But more recently, even in the past 5 to 6 years,
mm-hmm.
there weren't many Mothman sightings during the COVID pandemic.
Yeah, you got to take social distancing serious.
He took it very seriously. On the other hand, Chicago, over the past decade, there have been infinite sightings of some kind of winged beast creature that, especially at O'Hare Airport, there are so many sightings of this thing that there was like a special counsel created to investigate what this creature could perhaps be.
That's fun.
Yeah. In this this snippet I grabbed, it says, I heard the stories of the O'Hare Mothman. This is a firsthand account of someone leaving, someone that worked at the airport.
Okay.
That had a sighting of the creature.
Hell yeah.
I've heard the stories of the O'Hare Mothman, or as some have called it, Batman, but I simply dismiss them as nothing more than fantasy, an urban legend that was associated with an already spooky airport. I mean, who hasn't heard of the weird UFO sightings over O'Hare and stories of ghosts and whatnot? What happened to me that evening changed my entire view of those stories. So when I saw the post asking for pilots to step up forward and share their stories, I took advantage of the opportunity to tell my story with the O'Hare Mothman. This report was submitted in response to a May 31st, 2020 sighting in which a pilot at O'Hare said that he and his co-pilot saw a large black human-like creature fly up into the sky at approximately 7:30 a.m. while taxiing on the runway. And the report says, I was walking to my car with two of my friends after getting off of work. We were talking about the day and how it felt good to get off and head home. As we approached the car, I saw something moving across the street, but on the other side of the fence. It was dark, but you could easily see it. The entire area was lit up, and there was a plane that had been brought up near the fence for unloading and loading, and there was a lot of activity around the plane. As we walked, I pointed out to my friends, and they also saw the same thing. About the same time, a white SUV came driving up with its emergency flashing lights on and came to a halt on the road on the other side of the fence. Mind you, this is only two fucking years ago. Two men jumped out and shone some flashlights on this person, prompting the person to turn around and stare at them. It looked to be about 6 or 7 feet tall and was a very dark shade of gray, almost black, and had what looked like two large glowing red eyes. But that could have been from the flashlights being shined in his direction.
Yeah.
About 10 seconds after the first vehicle arrived, another came up on the same side of the fence as this person and illuminated the person with its headlights. I remember hearing my friend say, Lord have mercy, as we watched the scene unfold in front of us. It was about this time that the person opened up what looked like a pair of giant fucking bat wings.
Oh, shit.
And flew up into the air. As it flew up and over the people that were now gathered around, it let out a loud screech that sounded like a train brakes or the brakes from a large truck. It flew around in a large circle twice, screeching.
Damn.
What the fuck?
Power move.
And then flew out over the fence and toward the runways and the terminals in the distance. As we watched, it was then when a white pickup truck with a TSA emblem came up and towards us with its emergency lights on and told us the others who had gathered in the parking lot to clear out and get in our cars and leave the area immediately. We did as we were told, and as we drove out of the parking lot, we saw another three marked vehicles and just as many unmarked vehicles pulled into the street and the parking lot, all with their lights on.
Ooh.
I took my friends home, and we talked extensively about it. One of my friends who worked the later shift at United told me the airport security and TSA were in the area and asking people who stepped outside to please go back in for their safety, and were out there for at least an hour to an hour and a half afterwards. I did some research and came across a podcast where you had been the guest and got your information.
Huh.
Now, I think that if you go online and look up Chicago O'Hare Mothman sightings, there are fucking thousands of people that have seen this goddamn thing at the O'Hare airports.
Pretty cool. I like it.
As for Mothman, in my book, it's fucking real.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt in my mind that he is real. I believe. I don't want to believe. I do believe.
You're very, yeah. I think he's real.
Yeah, dude. You think he's out there?
I'm sure he is.
What a cool creature.
Wonder what he's doing now.
Probably smoking a big old fat blunt.
Do you think they just like...
Probably getting eaten out.
Like something that big. I mean, I wonder... Do you think it just like swoops down and like picks up people's livestock and just takes it back to its cave or nest?
Fucks it.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's something like that would be more of like an interdimensional being.
Think so?
I think it could be like extraterrestrial, possibly, whatever Mothman is. Something that's caught between dimensions. Something whose DNA is caught between ours and whatever else is out there.
I bet it stinks like shit.
Oh, I bet it fucking stinks.
Best of reek.
And none of these stories has anyone complained about the story of Mothman, whereas one other creature that we've never talked about on this show, Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
Every time someone has been around a Bigfoot, like, God damn, motherfucker, God damn.
Like, a Bigfoot definitely smells like shit. Yeah, there's no way around that.
Smells like a wet dog.
Got way too much hair to not smell like shit.
Yeah, but
birds stink too, though. So, I mean, I can only imagine what Mothman smells like.
Birds do. Birds are fucking gross, man.
Yeah, I hate birds.
Birds aren't real.
They're terrifying.
They shit a lot for not being real.
Yeah, they do. It's oils. It's oils leaking.
They're so abundantly used that the oil falls out of their ass. Just like me. I have oil leaking out of my ass.
Oh, yeah, been there.
You know, I've had such peril with my stomach lately that I haven't even bothered to change underwear. Because I know just as soon as I change them...
No point, you're just going to dirty them.
I'm just going to fucking put a big old rip stain right in the middle of it.
Yeah, shit. Isn't it great, man?
Well, that's the Mothman, and I think that he's out there. I think if you've ever seen the Mothman... You should reach out. Hit us up.
Hopefully you don't, because, I mean, that's pretty much a bad omen right there.
Sounds very, very scary.
Yeah.
Sounds very scary.
Yeah. I don't want to see him. I do. I don't know.
Have I ever mentioned how much I love people that can't pronounce their R's correctly?
No, I like it, too.
I think it's really, really nice. I love it. I don't know why. I just think it's beautiful.
Yeah, there's a word for it, and I'm pretty sure the word has R's in it, and they can't even say it.
You really want me to say that word? Jeez Louise.
There's a pretty popular TikToker that has that. She has it. She talks about it.
Mm. TikTok's fun.
I love TikTok, man.
I make a solid effort to stay off of it.
Mm-hmm. Dude, you go down the rabbit hole, man.
If this tells you anything,
once you start, you can't fucking stop.
Every single time that I send you a TikTok video,
mm-hmm.
that's the only time that I'm on it. So think of all the times that I'm not sending you TikToks.
So once you find one to send me, you're done.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, you know, I'll flip through, but I'll never not send you one when I'm on TikTok.
Okay.
Every single time I'm on TikTok, I send you a video.
Okay.
So I'm never on.
You'd block my number if I sent you one every time I was on. Yeah.
So I stay off.
It's bad.
So then when I do get on, TikTok wants to inundate me with all the good shit.
Yeah.
So then like my first 20 videos is just
gold.
Fucking gold.
Yeah.
Man. Not shit that I've seen. It's always that. It always starts with that kid like, hey guys, I'm making waffles.
Oh, dude, I love that dude.
He's like, this was bussing.
Yeah, I love that kid.
He's really good.
He's fun.
He seems like a sweetheart. You see him with his shirt off?
I don't think so.
He's pretty fucking jacked.
Is he?
He's a little scary. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Weird. Cool. I would have expected that.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Bro IO podcast. I don't know if we're doing a Zoom call or not.
If I can, if you can.
All right.
Beautiful.
We're going to
join us on Zoom. And if you want to know how to join us on Zoom, just subscribe to Bro IO podcast on Patreon.
There you go.
There you go.
Thanks, guys.